Welcome to Let's Talk Learning Disabilities with Lori Peterson and Abby Weinstein. Lori and Abby spend their days talking about dyslexia, dysgraphia, dyscalculia, and ADHD. They talk to parents of struggling students and adults who have had a lifetime of academic challenges. They want to share those stories along with their own insights with you. So, let's talk learning disabilities.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode number 20 of Let's Talk Learning Disabilities. This is Lori.
And this is Abby.
And we are very excited you guys are here today, and I feel like I say that every week, but this one hits pretty close to home. We're gonna do things a little bit different in that we're gonna talk about ADHD in adults. And, you know, Abby and I live this. And so we want to make this just a real conversation about what it's like to have ADHD as an adult. What are some of the symptoms? What are some of the things we deal with? But also, what are some of the things that we hear from other adults that we work with, whether we're testing them, whether we live with them or work with them? You know, because not everybody's story is the same. But there is definitely a common thread, wouldn't you agree?
Sure, absolutely. I think there is a common thread.
And I think probably the first thing, you know, that I want everyone to understand is that ADHD isn't something you just wake up with as an adult, right?
Right.
You have it all of your life. You're born with it. It's very genetic.
Very much.
You know, when I think about who I got it from, I'm fairly certain it's my mom. She's never been formally diagnosed, and how she's dealt and managed with it over her 75 years of life is very different, but I'm pretty sure that's where I got it. What about you?
I think also now looking back, I think my mom has some ADHD, and I think my dad also had some ADHD.
Double whammy. Yeah.
So, and I know that I've struggled my whole entire life, but wasn't diagnosed until I was in my mid-30s, in fact.
But not because even that was when you woke up with it. You know,
right.
you had it.
I had it my whole life. Now, in hindsight, looking back, early childhood, middle childhood, adolescence is when it really started to greatly impact me. But I had it my whole life, and I struggled my whole life.
When you were, okay, so when you were first, when you were diagnosed, did you have like an evaluation? Did someone just ask you a lot of questions? Because that was how long ago?
That was about 10 years ago.
Okay, so how were you diagnosed?
I was diagnosed by a psychiatrist just by talking to him in his office. Really, just him asking me questions, me sharing things that I struggle with, sharing concerns. I was actually there because I was dealing with a lot of depressive symptoms and a lot of anxiety. And my anxiety had gotten off the charts. It was exacerbated by a stressful work environment and a stressful situation at the time, but that's what drove me to go see the psychiatrist and meet with him and talk to him about different medications I could try. But the more I talked about all of my struggles and my concerns and just really did a little verbal vomit on him, that's when what came out of it is he said, "You have ADHD. I really think you have ADHD." And I knew at the time all about ADHD, right. And I knew I had some ADHD symptoms.
Right.
And there was times that I would be struggling or experiencing something, I'd say, "Oh, I'm acting so ADD." And it was just a phrase I used, and
right.
It was a coping mechanism that I always said, "Well, that's just ADD symptoms." But I really wasn't sure if I really, really had ADHD. I thought I just had depression and anxiety. And now, really looking back, now that I'm diagnosed with the ADHD and medicated for the ADHD, and I'm doing so much better, my depressive symptoms and my anxiety symptoms have greatly reduced. So looking back, probably most of my depression and my anxiety stemmed from having unmanaged ADHD.
And that is so common. We hear that. And you know where we hear it? Mostly with girls.
Mostly with girls. That's
mostly
right.
With girls, because girls tend to be pleasers and they want to do well. We also tend to have a lot of responsibilities and things to keep up with. And when we fail and aren't able to keep up with those things, we beat ourselves up.
We do.
And then that generates that anxiety and the depression. Like, I'm just not good enough. That sense of adequacy, right?
Yes.
Like, I'm just, or
huge
inadequacy.
Inadequacy feelings.
Because you just don't feel like you're good enough. Interestingly, I am not a pleaser. I have never been a pleaser. I didn't give a crap what anyone else thought, right?
Really?
And some of that may have just been a defense mechanism, right? Because I knew I couldn't do it, so what's the point in caring? And are you mostly inattentive?
I'm mostly inattentive, but I do have a lot of impulsivity as well.
Yeah, so when I look back, I love the looking back is so, it's just cool because now I'm like, oh, that makes sense.
It totally does.
But
it's very enlightening.
I was a terrible student. I was that all, you're not working up to your potential. Mm-hmm. You're so smart. Why can't you do this? And I just didn't care about school. It didn't interest me.
Right.
And I think, in hindsight, I think I was just overwhelmed by it.
Mm-hmm.
And I would just look at other people who could get their work done and stay organized and have their Trapper Keeper all put together nicely and be like, wow.
Love the Trapper Keeper. That was a great organizational tool.
And I craved that, but I didn't know what to do with it once I got it. And I remember going through high school and I was grounded. All my parents just beat their heads against the wall and, to no fault of theirs. They didn't, nobody knew back in the 80s what ADHD really was. When I meet somebody now who's my age who started medication in high school, I'm like, how did they know?
Yeah, it was so much less. They knew much less about it, and it was not nearly as common to have evaluations to diagnose,
especially
it.
For a girl.
Right, it was way underdiagnosed, and the girls also. We didn't run around the room climbing the walls. We didn't have a lot of that hyperactive, overt behaviors that interfered with the classroom and interfered with other people's learning.
But we did stupid stuff.
I did get in trouble a lot in school.
Do you remember though? As far back as probably second or third grade, doing something totally stupid and impulsive and being asked, why did you do that? Mm-hmm. And I always would say, I don't know. Because
exactly.
I didn't know.
Right.
It just happened. And then that frustrates a parent so much more because it's like, what do you mean you don't know?
But right.
You really don't.
Yeah, we didn't think before acting. We just impulsively made decisions and did things without thinking.
And I can remember some impulsive, stupid stuff I did as a kid. And nobody got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
But I was the chatty Kathy. I was always talking in class.
Same.
Because I couldn't wait to tell my friend something funny or something. I needed to tell them right then.
Right.
And then I'd always get in trouble. I'd get moved.
Mm-hmm.
So
I was an excessive talker also, and I was moved all around the room, back of the room, front of the room, near the snotty, nerdy kid in the back where they thought I wouldn't
talk. Isolated by yourself.
I still would find somebody to talk to.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think back now about how often I got moved around the room and how much I just... Plus, I needed that stimulation. I was so bored.
Mm-hmm.
Just somebody talk to me.
Right.
But all the way, and my parents just kept... It was just a battle. And so when I got into high school, I didn't... School was like... I'm like, I'm never going to use this. I was one of those.
Mm-hmm.
And I was grounded all the time. When I left for college, my parents, no fault of theirs, said... You won't make it. You'll be home at Christmas. The way your study habits are, or lack thereof, you're not going to make it. But what happened was, as I got to college and I found my people and I found that instant gratification, because that's what we crave, right?
Mm-hmm.
We crave instant gratification. Don't tell me that it's going to take me 6 weeks to do this because
right.
I won't make it. I need to know how to get it done now.
Right.
So I found my people. I still, though, did the bare minimum. I got in a sorority and I had to have a 2.25 GPA to get initiated, and I got a
2.25.
Exactly. I slid right in there. But I still, and I remember doing things in college so impulsively, and I was kind of, that's what people expected from me,
mm-hmm.
because that's just who I was. I didn't love myself, though,
Right.
I started to really not like myself in college because I felt very judged, right?
Really?
And I was always the funny one, and I am a lot of fun, don't get me wrong.
Right.
But, I never had, it took until I got to those last 2 years where I got to start really getting into my major, and
mm-hmm.
I like this stuff, this is interesting.
That was the
that
same
my GPA went up.
Same. I struggled, even going off to college, my freshman year, I struggled tremendously. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, structure was removed, discipline
so much
was
freedom.
Removed. I had so much freedom, and I was not a student either. I was not a good student. I didn't have good study skills. I didn't have good organizational techniques and strategies, and I had so much freedom, and I was already that impulsive kid that liked to impulsively do things and liked to have fun and very social and talkative. And so I almost flunked out of college after my first semester. I was actually put on monitored probation. My GPA was so low. And I hardly ever went to class. I hardly ever studied. I hardly ever did my assignments and read what I needed to do. And I remember going home during break, one of the first breaks we had, I think it was winter break in between semesters, and I was on probation, and my dad had said to me, "You'll be lucky if you end up getting a job in a fast food restaurant, because you'll never graduate college, and we will not pay for another piece of anything, especially education, if you flunk out." And so that was a really eye-opening experience for me, and it was like, okay, wait a minute. And I decided then, I had such a hard head and such a strong personality, that I'm going to prove you wrong.
Hold my beer.
Exactly. Hold my beer and watch me. Right. She believed she could, so she did.
Absolutely.
One of my favorite quotes. And I turned things around dramatically from then. But I had to learn how to balance the partying and the fun stuff with the studying. It didn't come naturally for me either. And I had to learn, I had to go other places to study. I couldn't study in the dorm or the dorm room or even in the study hall in the dorm. And I had to really learn a lot of really good coping strategies.
Did you start every semester with your new materials and your new pens and your syllabus and notes and like, I've got this, I'm gonna kill it, I'm going to every class this semester, I'm gonna keep up with my assignments, I'm gonna go home every day and read my assignments? And like after 2 weeks, it was like, slid right back.
Absolutely. I had great intentions at the start of every semester. But if it wasn't, it's hard, you know, I think for those of us with ADHD, if something is not interesting to us and it's not novel, it's really hard to be focused and interested in it. And so, you know, the first 2 years of college, you're taking
nothing
basics. Nothing is interesting until you get into your major. And even then, sometimes it's hard to a lot of people struggle to find what their major is and what they're really interested in. But I think it's, for me, it wasn't until I got into those classes that were really, truly interesting to me, those child development classes and psychology classes and child and education and child development, family life, those types of classes, that I started making A's. And I didn't even really know I was even capable of A's.
I didn't think I was, for sure. Yeah.
I shocked myself when I, and then once I got my first A, I was determined to keep getting A's. Mm-hmm. But it was hard to live up to that expectation to get there.
Well, and I think when you have such good intentions, right? Because I have good intentions, even today with projects and organizational systems and planning meals or whatever you do as an adult, that when you don't follow through with it, that's where the
beat yourself up.
And that's where the depression starts to come. And then the anxiety, because, oh crap, I have another test and I thought I was going to study for the last one and I didn't. Can I pull it off for this one? And you start to have that panic. And then when you don't do well, you beat yourself up and it's all that negative self-talk. And we all know we're way harder on ourselves than we would.
Cycle.
And we say meaner things to ourselves than we would ever say to another
person.
Right?
You're right. We
would never talk to someone that way. But I think, you know, then I graduated, I had a degree, and then I went through 175 jobs because I would go get a job at a school. I would love it. The whole newness of it, the newness would wear off and I'd be like, I'm
interest.
Yeah. I want to go to another school. And I jumped schools, my resume, before I just branched it on my own, which completely was because of my ADHD, right? Because I couldn't work for somebody else. I was terrible at following their rules. Their rules were stupid. Why do I have to stay till 4? If my work's done by 3:30, I should get to leave, because my brain goes 90 to nothing, as does my talking, clearly. And so I work fast, I get stuff done, not always efficiently or not always without mistakes, but it gets done. So I jump from job to job. And I think that's a huge thing that we see with other adults.
That is a huge struggle with a lot of adults that we talk to, is they struggle in their jobs. We see a lot of people that come in wanting advice on what they should do as their next job, what should be their career, because they're struggling in their current job and they've lost interest in it and they're not sure what next steps to take. So I think that is common with adults with ADHD. Of course, again, things have to be very interesting to us, new and novel, for us to stay motivated, focused, engaged. And, you know, I think it's hard with these good intentions we have. we can come up with a lot of goals and we can come up with good intentions. And we've even been taught to make to-do lists, mm-hmm. and we can do them. But executing those plans is a whole different ball of wax. Yep. And it is very hard for adults with ADHD to execute plans and to see them through to completion. So I think that we all struggle with getting those tasks and chores and responsibilities done. We might know exactly the path to get there, but executing that plan is different.
Well, and I didn't get diagnosed until sadly, because I didn't really, I took it seriously, but I was probably in my late 20s. And I got on medication, and I remember noticing a humongous difference right away. Like, I think we were getting ready to move when I started my medication. And I went home, and like my first day on medicine, I got the entire kitchen packed. I remember thinking, what just happened, right? Because that's like the most boring, tedious, hate that job.
Absolutely.
But you know what I didn't do is I didn't learn about ADHD. I didn't know enough about it back then mm-hmm. to really manage it.
Right.
I just thought I was going to take a pill and life was going to get better. Mm-hmm. And we hear that all the
time,
too.
We do hear that a lot.
Is that I just know if I just get some medicine, and that is, it's going to help a little bit. But if you don't know, if you don't understand how your brain works, if you don't understand how ADHD impacts you every day, mm-hmm. then it's not going to help. And I actually didn't stay on the medicine because I didn't know how else. It was just such a small piece, right?
You probably felt like it wasn't working too, because
I just forgot to refill.
It didn't totally help you. Oh, okay. Or you forgot.
It could have been that. I mean,
you were forgetting
remember.
To take it or forgetting to refill.
And I don't even remember, right? Because then I had kids and my life got crazy busy, and I feel like I was just always. I have always prided myself on being a fly by the seat of my pants kind of person. But I don't know that that's a good thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm really good. I can turn on a dime. That's not always a good thing, mm-hmm. but I've been forced to do that. But keeping up with mom life. Working.
Right.
And so I really didn't seriously get back on medication again until I was in my early 40s. But then I understood ADHD, mm-hmm. and my knowledge of it has evolved over time, too, and how the executive functioning skills and how important it is to understand what ADHD is, how it impacts your brain, how the medicine helps, but mm-hmm. how there's so much more to it, and how the coaching and the therapy.
Right.
I spent a lot of time in therapy.
I did as well.
Really just learning that I'm not lazy,
mm-hmm.
because that's what I was told.
Right.
And I had to unwind a lot of that. And that helped me deal with all of the negative stuff. But then coaching helps us be more efficient today and put mm-hmm. strategies in place.
Learn because strategies, right.
Medicine helps me start and finish a task,
mm-hmm.
but I'm doing it at the last minute.
Right.
Right? Or I'm so unorganized.
It helps you focus a little bit better during those tasks.
Absolutely.
Also, and kind of filter out some distractions. But you have to be able to organize your mind and organize your surroundings in order to execute that task.
I also think, too, that at some point you have to realize that there are going to just be things that you're not good at.
Mm-hmm.
And be okay with that.
Right.
And that's why here, like, Lynn is our admin in our office. She is amazing, organized, detail-oriented.
Very much.
We couldn't have somebody with ADHD in that position mm-hmm. because we would never get anything done.
Mm-hmm. Like she wants a system in place for everything we do here.
And thank God.
And thank God.
Because
the rest of us have ADHD.
We're just flying by the seat of our pants, right? Like, I don't know, we'll figure that out later.
Right.
And so it's finding the people and surrounding yourself with people that, A, understand you so they don't get frustrated mm-hmm. with you, and having people that can.
And with that, finding people that understand you, I think it's really important for those that are closest to you to understand more about ADHD, especially close friends, family members, relationship partners, because it can be very frustrating to live with an adult with ADHD mm-hmm. if you don't understand it. You don't understand how their brain works and where their struggles are coming from.
Why can't you remember to pay this bill?
Right.
What is so hard about this?
Or why can't you remember what we just talked about or what we just heard or the
how
conversation?
How can you not have dinner planned? Again, mm-hmm. we eat it every night, right?
How can you not just get up and do the laundry?
Right.
Which
really?
For me is one of the biggest tasks that I struggle with in my personal life is getting chores done at home, like laundry and grocery shopping.
Because my motto is, why do today what you can put off till tomorrow?
You can, right? I am the same way.
Which drives my mother crazy.
30 more minutes and I'm going to get up and do it. 30 more minutes and I'm going to do it. And then I get busy doing something else and I forget that I even had a list of to-do items to do.
So you're right. I think not just you as an adult with ADHD understanding your ADHD, but the people around you. Like I read Driven to Distraction, which is an excellent book. I had to read it for, I don't remember why, but I gave it to my parents. I'm like, read this book. It explains everything. Like,
oh,
you will
that's
get
a
me.
Good idea.
And then I was a guest on a podcast where we talked about ADHD and I made them listen to that because I still think, you know, we still joke about my inability to make a plan, right? My mom will still ask me 2 months ahead of Thanksgiving what we're doing for Thanksgiving. I'm like, please, hello, have you not met me? I don't even know what I'm for dinner tonight. So can we come back to that topic
later?
Let's
talk about Thanksgiving the day before.
Or the week before. I still frustrate her so bad, but she's getting better about
understanding
and throwing me a bone. But
good.
But we've had to have lots of conversations, and I have to be okay saying, like, I can't do that.
Right.
But I think, you know, and I think also with our family members that we do have that are ADHD, my husband has ADHD. I have a son and two stepdaughters with ADHD. We have a lot of grace at our house, right? Because you know
That's
what?
That's important.
You didn't get that done. I probably would have done the same thing. And I think when you have an ADHD and a non-ADHD relationship, that's where it gets really tricky.
That is tricky.
Because you don't understand. So I feel very blessed to have so much ADHD in my life because everybody gets me.
Right.
Right? But
and if they don't, do you help them to understand more about ADHD?
So absolutely.
That they're more compassionate and
absolutely. And I think when we work with clients of all ages, we encourage everybody in that family, whatever it looks like, to read books, watch the YouTube videos, you know, do their own research, whatever works for you, right? Like, I love those ADHD YouTube videos.
Those are amazing.
Are awesome, and they're short, and they're stimulating, and they're interesting.
True.
Those, to me, like, I can watch those all day long.
Yes. Books, go to YouTube and search for how to ADHD.
This girl, can't remember her name. She's great.
I can't remember her name either, but she's great. She's very informative, but she's easy to understand.
And she uses cool graphics and fun little cartoons, and very engaging.
It's very engaging.
It's what our brain
and interesting.
Needs.
It's
we
right.
need that multi-sensory stimulation, right?
It's a great way to learn more about ADHD and executive function difficulties and how ADHD impacts you.
I also think it's super important for somebody, especially as an adult that just gets diagnosed, to find their people. Go get in a Facebook group. You know, go find a coaching group or an accountability group, someplace where you can be with other people that get you.
That get you.
Because there's two things that happen.
And
one,
struggle with the same types
exactly,
of things you struggle
you
with.
Think,
they can validate your feelings.
I'm not crazy. They're doing it too. I may learn something from what they are doing or trying, right?
Right.
But I also, there's also always going to be someone that's worse.
That's true.
Okay, I'm not that bad. It's not that bad.
That'll help boost your ego and make you feel better.
It does. You need to know that because you do. Mm-hmm. You end up thinking that you are totally useless. And it's fascinating to me how, and I'm sure this would be a great study, how ADHD looks so different. Because I know adults. We've worked with adults. Mm-hmm. I have adults in my personal life that still can't keep a job at 45 or 50, you know, that still can't keep a relationship. And it's like, well, how come I can? And how come you can't? I mean, what's the difference? Was it the way you were raised? Is it the way you were? Who knows, right?
Mm-hmm. Who knows,
but
right.
It looks so different. And I think everybody needs to understand that no two adult ADHD people are alike.
That's true. Very different. And it looks different in females versus males. And depending on what the demands of your life are, what type of job you have and your job responsibilities, whether you're sitting still at a desk in front of a computer all day or you have a job that you get to move around and multitask and do different
variety
of things, it's going to look different and your symptoms, you know, present differently and your struggles are going to be different.
Even for non-ADHD clients, I always find myself when we're having a career discussion talking about jobs where there's a lot of variety there, like, you know, which is not important to everybody.
Right.
But that's always my first thing mm-hmm. I think about. And now
I like to change it up a little.
Right. Let me look at something different or mm-hmm. from another angle. And I tell my son with ADHD that I pray that, you know, whatever he decides to do, he finds his passion. And really, he's also one of those people that probably is going to need to work for himself because he's not a rule follower.
He's not a rule follower.
Which is a very ADHD trait.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
very
it's
much.
Not because you're a bad person. It's not because you're disrespectful. It's just your brain is wired in a way that it's very hard to understand why
rules.
You see a different way. Why
if it doesn't
I just
make
do
sense.
Way?
Exactly. If I have a way that I can make it work out for me, why can't I just do it this way?
Right. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, it's also that I think individuals with ADHD or adults with ADHD, a lot of times we're beating ourselves up and we're comparing ourselves to others. But you said, you know, giving grace. I think educating yourself and learning more about ADHD and how your brain is wired and why it looks the way it looks and why certain symptoms manifest at different times, it is going to help you with a lot of those depressive symptoms and the anxiety also. So if you feel like you have ADHD or you've been diagnosed with ADHD, I encourage you to really educate yourself more about ADHD and those around you. I think it's crucial, and you will start to feel better and more positive and less self-deprecating and stop that negative self-talk.
Well, I think just the awareness, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because when I, even now with what I feel like I have a lot of knowledge, but I still will forget something or miss something. And I go that my instinct, my reflex is to immediately beat myself up.
Mm-hmm.
But because of what I do know, I can take a breath and say, okay, this is not helping.
Mm-hmm.
Like this was not my fault. It is what it is. How are we going to do it different next time? And I think the knowledge of ADHD allows you to take that breath.
It really does.
But I also think it allows you then to look at your anxiety and depression and what are the things that really make me anxious
mm-hmm.
and how could that be related? Because
to the ADHD.
You can have anxiety that's not related to your ADHD.
Absolutely.
Or that doesn't have anything to do with ADHD.
Mm-hmm.
And you may just have anxiety because that will also make you very inattentive.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a great time to examine that and say, okay, when I start to feel down or depressed, is it because I haven't lived up to someone's expectations, or I haven't been able to complete a task, or I haven't finished my degree, or I haven't, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
And is it related to my ADHD?
Right.
And how do I kind of work myself out of it? And counseling is a great, great tool. And I highly
Absolutely.
Recommend that to all of our adults, because I do think you have to unpack all of the years you've had the negative from teachers and bosses and
parents
and yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And start to learn how to take that and shift moving forward to now what do I do with this information and how do I do it differently?
Right. I agree. Absolutely.
Where do I need to shift and make changes? So back to coaching, I would love to tell you that I have been in regular coaching now for several years, because I haven't, because that would require scheduling it and sticking with it and all the things I struggle with. But I do have a relationship with a coach that I can call her when I start to have that overwhelmed feeling
mm-hmm.
or when there's something specific that I'm like, okay, I've got to get on top of this.
Right.
And we'll spend 30, 45 minutes Zooming, and it never fails. I leave that conversation with, okay, I can do this.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm happy to say with almost everything we've talked about, I've been able to follow through because she understands my brain.
Okay.
She understands ADHD. She knows how to present it. She knows how to set me up for success.
Sure. And it's been effective for you. You can take what you've...
Absolutely.
Take something out of that coaching session and put it to use.
And she doesn't beat me up.
She doesn't make you feel bad
no,
about it, of
and
course.
I appreciate it. You've been dabbling a little
I've
bit.
I've been dabbling a little bit with ADHD coaching. I've only had 3 sessions. But what's really cool, what I've been really just so surprised with is that I thought she was going to give me a whole list of strategies for me to implement that are going to help make me more motivated, more organized, more on task, more focused. And it wasn't that. But what it was, something about her talking to me and coaching me and the way she coaches, she helped me come to my own realizations, which was really cool because I started, as we were talking, even after my second session, I have a whole list of different strategies that I've been implementing at home to help me stay more on task, to get me more organized so that I can see things through to completion. I'm checking in with a friend so I have an accountability partner. But all of these different strategies that I've listed and that I'm working on and that I'm trying to implement, trying is keyword. I'm not yet 100% successful in using them all, but they weren't all strategies that she gave to me and told me to do. I came to them on my own, but she coached them out of me. And so that was a really cool thing that, like, wow, I came up with that idea all on my own, and which in turn helped with a lot of those negative self-talk. Now I'm like, okay, I am capable.
I came up with that idea.
I came up with several good ideas. So coaching can be really good for managing ADHD symptoms and learning a lot of great strategies and coming to that realization, but also just changing your mindset and giving you a big ego boost and some positive encouragement and self-esteem to take with you to move forward to attack all those things that you are struggling with attacking.
Well, and ultimately, it's about finding what works for you. So I think that's the whole point, right? Is that they keep digging and getting you to generate it, because if you generate it, that's something that, you know, is how your brain works and is probably gonna, you'll be more successful with it. The other thing that I feel like we get asked a lot is about diet. I'll give you my 2 cents. You can give me your 2 cents because, again, we are not medical doctors. We are not dietitians. We are not nutritionists. We can definitely only tell you our experience. Obviously, when you eat healthier, you feel better.
Absolutely.
I don't care what you have, right? So that's across the board.
So true.
When you exercise, you feel better. I know for a fact with my son, when he was on the swim team and would swim in the mornings, he would have a better morning at school regardless of medication because he burned out some of that energy. It does help you focus. It's not, it doesn't last all day.
Right.
And, you know, obviously he isn't doing it now, so we've had to turn and rotate and find other things. But exercise helps. So
it does.
But it helps even people who don't have ADHD.
Oh, right. It helps everyone.
So, you know, giving up carbs or giving up sugar is not something you have to do to manage your ADHD. You're going to feel better.
You are going to feel better. You're going to be more clear-headed as well.
Unless it just stresses you out. Because for me, putting together a specific diet is completely overwhelming.
Right.
Because
trying to follow a plan.
I have to track it. I have to plan for a meal. I have to grocery shop a certain way. And then what happens when I mess up?
Then you beat yourself up.
Exactly. So I've learned over the long span of my life that I don't do diets because it's just, it's not, nothing good comes from it. But that's me,
but
my brain.
Do you make healthier choices overall?
Absolutely.
You know when you've made a lot of unhealthy choices and you've put unhealthy foods into your body, you recognize how you feel and that you don't function as well. So then when you are about to eat those unhealthy foods another time, you at least take a beat or a moment. You still may make that unhealthy food choice, but at least you know, ooh, this is not going to make me feel good, or I'm going to have a sluggish afternoon. I'm not going to be productive. But you at least are aware of it.
Right. And I do also like that I can practice moderation. And for somebody with ADHD, that's very difficult.
It is very difficult.
And so that's something I've had to really work on, and it's taken me a very long time, and I'm kind of there, but not really.
And my impulsivity causes me to grab a cookie, eat it in less than a minute before the thought has even processed my brain, and then I finish it and I'm like, I didn't even want that.
Yeah, why did
why
I,
did
do
I
that?
Eat that? I don't even like oatmeal raisin cookies, but they were sitting there on the counter, so I ate one, and now I regret eating it because I'm going to feel gross the rest of the day, and I just, you know,
and if
ruined
I'm
my diet.
I should have blooded on some Oreos.
Some Oreos, exactly. Something I really love.
Right.
But, you know, the thing with exercise also, not only does it make everyone feel better, and the rush of endorphins creates a boost in your mental functioning and an ego boost and a mental health boost, it really does on individuals with ADHD, engaging in some sort of physical activity and movement, it does help your brain seem to slow down, be able to focus more, focus longer. It really can, you know, just getting up, and it doesn't even have to be major exercise, taking a walk.
Just moving.
Moving, doing jumping jacks.
Stretching.
Stretching, exactly.
The other thing, too, I feel like I've learned how to use is technology,
mm-hmm.
right? So sometimes technology can be a distraction,
right?
Totally. But I have learned, like, you know, yesterday morning I was drying my hair and remembering I needed to call the vet. Well, I couldn't call at 7:30 in the morning, so I used my watch to set a reminder. I just said, you know, set a reminder to call the vet at 9 o'clock, and boom, I had that reminder set.
Mm-hmm.
So learning how to use your technology in a way that can benefit you with reminders and timers.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a big fan of timers. If you're going to take a break from work or from a task like a chore,
mm-hmm.
set a timer so you come back.
Yes, exactly.
Or set a timer so that at 20 minutes, you know, okay, I'm done with this much. I can take a break now. And
right.
So we talk a lot about that with studying,
yes.
too.
Yes, that's a very good point. There are so many great resources available using technology. And I don't have an Apple Watch, but I do set timers on my phone and alerts on my phone throughout my whole entire day. Anything I need to remember to do, I have to put it in my phone and set an alert with it. And I also usually write it down somewhere also. I have kind of a old school paper pencil copy of a to-do list, and I have everything in my calendar. So there are so many great resources. I encourage people out there that are struggling with organization, time management, remembering what to do, when to do it. Look into the resources that are available. Go to the App Store, even on your smartphone,
search.
It is a total rabbit hole you'll get into. Search time management or organizational systems, to-do lists. You won't even believe how many are out there.
I think what you and I have figured out too in our schedule is that the structure and consistency is key. So like every Monday at 9:30, we have a meeting about this, and we do it every week,
mm-hmm.
and it keeps us on task and we get those tasks done. Every Tuesday at 10:30, we do this. And
yes.
doing that in your personal life is just as important, that every Sunday at noon, I plan the week's meals or whatever, you know, like, if you can start finding that routine,
absolutely.
It feels really good. Believe it or not, what most people don't know is that, or don't understand or can't believe, is that people with ADHD really, they crave that structure.
Uh-huh. We thrive off structure.
It feels so good.
And consistency.
But it's so hard.
It is hard. And even though we've said every Monday morning at 9, we're going to meet and talk about this, we still have to put it on the calendar with an alert to remind us, hey, it's Monday at 9:30, go
right.
do this.
Go meet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And what I've also started doing is I've started kind of rewarding myself for accomplishing things that I wasn't able to accomplish for so long, which I think is a great strategy for adults. We always think about rewarding kids and giving kids gifts and rewards and positive reinforcement.
Right. We need them.
But we need them too. I mean, just like we all go to work and we get rewarded with a paycheck. So you are still getting rewarded. So you can build rewards into your own life. If you like to go eat sushi, tell yourself that, you know, if I do X, Y, and Z, then I'll allow myself to go to dinner and have sushi. Or if I do my chores at home, then I'm going to take myself out for a pedicure or a massage.
And start with baby steps.
Exactly.
Don't set the expectations to where you'll never meet it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I just clean the bathroom, I'm going to go get a pedicure.
There
like,
you
start
go.
Small because you...
Attainable.
We tend to set the bar too high.
Mm-hmm.
We have these crazy expectations, so be realistic with your expectations,
good
right?
point.
And start to really, again, with understanding ADHD, know where your limits are, because what I can get done and what you can get done
mm-hmm.
in a certain amount of time or on a certain project or task, it's going to look different.
Absolutely.
And so you have to really be in tune with your own brain,
mm-hmm.
right? And that it looks different on everybody. One other thing I wanted to say too, that I dealt with a lot, and thankfully I've worked through it, impulsive spending.
Mm, that is still something I'm working through.
Impulsive
and shopping.
How do you not impulsive shop
mm-hmm.
with Amazon and everything? One click.
Click, yep.
And it has taken a lot of years and a lot of just being old, I think, just maturity maybe, I don't know, or
having more self-control.
Right, but it's hard.
It is very hard. I think Medication does help a little bit with the self-control piece and the inhibitory controls that are built into that, but maturity, responsibility, having a bad month where you spent too much and then you're poor for the last 13 days and you're counting down the days to your paycheck, having those negative natural consequences that you've learned from, hopefully, can help. But that is something that I still struggle with
a lot,
is impulsive spending.
And it's hard because I have spent a lifetime of it, so now I see my kids. Because they do like they see, right? And so having to unwind some of that with them has been hard. But, you know, I love that we can talk about this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. We have resources here at our office where we can talk. We're always talking to people, which I think is also very therapeutic when we have other adults come in and we can help them through some of this. I think every time we do that, it helps us kind of undo a layer of our own, right?
It really does. I think sharing our own stories, when we're meeting with someone and they've just been diagnosed with ADHD, we give them hope.
Right.
And it helps them feel better when we share our stories and our personal struggles. And that we've been there, we've walked in your shoes, for sure.
I think it's, so takeaways, right? Because again, we could probably ramble on about ADHD for another like 3 hours.
Oh, at least.
My biggest takeaway is talk to somebody. Mm-hmm. Talk to somebody. If it's your doctor, if it's your counselor, if it's your parent, your friend, your roommate, start the process of getting out of what's in your head out to somebody. Because the more you start talking about it and understanding it, then the help comes. And then the steps to improvement come. So I feel like it's not something to be embarrassed about. It's not something that you need to blow off and say, oh, it's just overdiagnosed.
Right.
It's
very real.
Talk to somebody. Mm-hmm. You know, if you have questions about ADHD in yourself, if you think maybe you've got it, and you've always wondered or someone has said something, email us.
Right.
We're
happy
clearly
to help.
We like talking about it.
Sure.
So we're happy to talk about it with you. You know, let's talk learningdisabilities@gmail.com. Email us with your questions about ADHD. Adults, we are embarrassed. It's embarrassing that we can't have better self-control at the age that we are.
Right.
And so we stuff it down and then we create other bad habits on top of that. And it becomes just a vicious cycle. Mm-hmm. There is a way out of it.
There is.
ADHD is a real thing. It's something that as an adult, it's not a childhood disorder.
That's true.
Which is, Tim, my husband, had read on Facebook that someone had said that their doctor had told them that they don't medicate adults because they should have grown out of it by now. I'm like, oh, Lord help us.
Mm-hmm.
That's just somebody who doesn't have...
It is a very real thing. And if you are an adult listening or you know an adult that has a lot of struggles that sound like they're ADHD... It is real, and it can often be diagnosed in adulthood, and many, many times it has gone undiagnosed for numerous, numerous years and can look like other types of problems.
Well, they're
like
probably
depression
getting treated
and anxiety.
For anxiety and depression. Mm-hmm. Almost, I feel like that's so many of the people we see that have already sought out treatment for that.
Sure.
Because that was easier to talk about, and it was the more obvious symptom.
It was the more obvious, right.
When you dig under, again, especially in girls... Mm-hmm. It really is underneath. It's the ADHD.
Yes. I think we fly under the radar for way too long.
We do. Right. So that's my takeaway is just talk to somebody.
Yeah.
Just.
I think that's a great suggestion. Definitely talk to somebody, get it out there, and then, you know, seek out some resources that are available. Now with the internet, at your fingertips, you can spend hours and hours, but just Google strategies for time management, strategies for organizational skills.
Go to the YouTube channel.
Go to the YouTube how to
ADHD.
ADHD.
We'll put that in the show notes.
Definitely. Seek out an evaluation if you want to get diagnosed, if you think that you might have it. And then talk to your physician also about medication and with the medication and a combination of counseling.
And don't be afraid to ask
coaching.
For a stimulant. We've noticed that a lot of adults, when they go for medication, they're automatically given like an antidepressant or a non-stimulant. A stimulant medication increases the chemicals in your brain so that you can be at a level where you can focus.
Absolutely.
It's not, and that's something we didn't even talk about was like drug addiction and alcohol addiction. Many adults are already self-medicating, whether it's with food or drugs or alcohol.
Shopping,
a lot of them smoke
gambling.
A lot of marijuana because they want their brain to slow down. Like there are the
The list is endless.
We could be here for days.
Mm-hmm.
If you have questions, please do not hesitate to reach out to us. We are very happy to help. This is what we do. This is why we, this I truly believe is why we do what we do, because of our own personal struggles, being able to help other people kind of come to some of the clarity that we've come mm-hmm. to and see that there's hope on the other
right.
side.
See the light at the end of the tunnel.
Gosh,
yeah.
That sounds very profound.
It does. It feels really good to know that there is some light there.
And to see the relief in somebody's face, like, okay, this is a thing. I'm not crazy. I'm not stupid.
Mm-hmm.
And I can, there's, this is a thing I can do something about.
Absolutely.
So
there are things.
If you have questions, again, letstalklearningdisabilities@gmail.com. You can go to our website and read about our evaluation process, which is diagnostic-learning.com. Again, talk to your physician and family members. And just let us know if we can help.
Please do.
You guys have a great day, and we will be back in a couple of weeks with our episode 21. We've hit 20. That's pretty amazing.
That is huge. Yay. This is
episode
20.
Again, for two people who never thought we'd see this through.
Right. We've done a great job. 20.
We're so excited. All right. Have a great day, guys.
Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much for joining us today. In our show notes, you can find information about today's talk, as well as links to resources and other episodes. If you have questions about today's talk, have ideas for future episodes, or just want to stay connected, you can contact us through Diagnostic Learning Services on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and Instagram. So, let's keep talking learning disabilities. This podcast is sponsored by eDiagnostic Learning. You can find more information at www.ediagnosticlearning.com.